Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this place that we can come each week to be in your presence and to hear your word. For families, dear Lord, for moms and dads and sons and daughters and grandparents and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles. For our church family, dear Lord, so many people for us to love. Thank you for the sunshine, for the changing angle of the sun, for these days when we can run around without hats and coats and boots and mittens. Help us to savor every single day. For your gift of forgiveness, for your gift of love, for all those places that we are hurting, dear Lord, we need you. Help us to breathe in your Holy Spirit and to breathe out fear and anxiety. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Peter came to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if someone sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, I tell you, but 77 times." So there's this old Ray Delgado cartoon that depicts a man standing in the greeting card aisle of the grocery store. A salesperson is there, and she's arranging all the cards, making everything look nice and neat, when the man walks up to her and says, "Excuse me, could I ask for your help? I'm looking for a card for my wife. Do you have one that vaguely hints at wrongdoing, but stops short and doesn't really admit to the wrongdoing, you know? Kind of like, but not really saying I'm sorry, but maybe hinting at it just in case maybe I did something wrong?" We love this because we know that it is true. You know how sometimes you know that you messed up and you feel like you should say you're sorry, but you don't really want to say you're sorry in case the person didn't think that you messed up, so you just say nothing? Yeah, well, guess what? God knows when we mess up, and God loves us anyway. Telling someone that we are sorry on one hand, or truly forgiving someone on the other hand, are two of the most difficult things we will ever have to do in our lifetimes. We feel like if we forgive too easily, that they won't understand how much they hurt us, or that if we let them off too easy, they might think it was no big deal and do it again. Society teaches us that the strongest person wins, and saying, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," doesn't fit into the world's mold. But we feel like we don't want to surrender. We want to hang on to our righteous anger. The reality, of course, is that carrying around anger or resentment only serves to make us feel worse. And the good news is that God knows that we need to forgive, and God knows that we need to receive and accept forgiveness, and shows us the way to healing and to wholeness. You know that feeling when you're angry with someone and you will do everything in your power to avoid them? We scan the room, we're hoping they're not there. And if we run into them, it feels awkward at best, or miserable at worst, and enrages us all over again. This hanging on to anger, this unwillingness to forgive, is painful. It drains us of joy, it drains us of life. We can spend days and even months and even years of this one precious life that we have holding on to a chunk of anger that we need to let go. This is nothing new, of course. Way back in biblical days. The setting for today's gospel that Pastor Freeman read took place at what we now call the Last Supper. Jesus and Jesus alone knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. And Jesus alone knew that one of his best friends, one of his disciples, was the one who would betray him. And so he gathers them together, his nearest and his dearest, to have a meal. And while they were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." I mean, think of that. You're sitting at a dinner table with all of your best friends, and the host says, "One of you will betray me." So they were upset, and they began to deny it. But one of them betrays him anyway, because he's human, because we sin, because we mess up. So that night, that Last Supper, does Jesus, knowing one of his friends there will betray him, does he kick him out? Does he give him the silent treatment? Does he begin to let his heart be filled with the hate and anger of betrayal? No. He speaks of forgiveness. He takes the bread and the wine and he says, "Take and eat. This is my body, this is my blood given for you. Do this for the forgiveness of sin." Jesus does this because forgiving injects light into darkness. Forgiving injects love into hate. Forgiving injects peace into life. Psychologist Dr. Robert Caron tells a story in his book, The Forgiving Self, of a young couple hanging out with their friends. The boy was hard of hearing, and his girlfriend was so exasperated and embarrassed by this that in front of all their friends, she yelled at him, dismissing him, calling him an idiot, and saying, "I don't know why I waste my time with you." The boy's face fell. He looked crushed. The girl was immediately horrified by what she had done. She took him in her arms and she kissed him tenderly over and over on his ears, as if to say again and again, "I'm sorry. I love you. I love all of you, including your ears that can't hear." Apologizing is an act of giving that can be as powerful and transforming as forgiveness. Certainly, we crave it as much. We want release from our own worst feelings about ourselves. We want to feel cared about again and connected. We want to feel joy. In the movie Flight, Denzel Washington plays a pilot who suffers from alcoholism and drug addiction. He has spent his whole life lying and covering up for his addictions. He's been able to pull it all off up until this point because of his flying skills and his charm. Now a masterful twister of truth, today seems to be no different. His character finds himself in the midst of a hearing following an engine failure and a dramatic midfield landing. Everyone has agreed that his ability to land the plane in those circumstances was nothing short of genius. Just minutes shy of being cleared of any liability, an investigator asks him a simple question. Had you been drinking that day? Two little empty airline bottles had been found in the cockpit. Everyone there presumed that the bottles belonged to a flight attendant friend of his who had died in the crash. All he needed to do was say, yes, it's possible that they were hers, and he would have walked away a hero and gone back to his life of flying and fame. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't let his friend take the blame. He couldn't take one more day of all the work required to go about the facade. He couldn't tell one more lie. He was exhausted. And so he admitted, in a room filled with media and microphones and cameras, that yes, those two empty bottles were his, that he had been drinking that day. And with his confession, the whole room erupted. Microphones were shoved in his face, cameras flashed. The defense counsel jumped to their feet, yelling, "Objection, Your Honor, objection." And yet, even in the midst of all that chaos, you could see the farce and the bravado begin to fade from the pilot's face, and peace begin to settle in. He would apologize from the heart. He would take the blame. He would seek forgiveness and begin to reconstruct his life based on truth and on honesty. Each morning in this sanctuary, each one of us has been hurt by someone or something in our lives. Each one of us has also intentionally or unintentionally hurt someone else. It's the human condition. Withholding forgiveness or apology eats away at our insides, robbing us of a joy-filled life. The psalmist describes it like this: "While I kept silent, my body wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, Lord. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did no longer hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my sins to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." So my gospel challenge for today is this: if Jesus, knowing that one of his nearest and dearest friends was going to bring about his death that following morning, if Jesus could still welcome him and love him and share God's gift of forgiveness with him, then surely I imagine we can forgive one another for things much smaller than that. And if we have hurt someone, let's be like the pilot and the prodigal son and the girl who belittled her boyfriend and have the courage to say, "I was wrong and I'm sorry." Not with a card that vaguely hints at wrongdoing, but doesn't quite get there, but by praying for the courage to have that difficult conversation and truly apologizing from the heart. And when we're the ones who have been hurt, Let us strive to be a little bit like Jesus and to forgive. For forgiving injects light into darkness, and love into hate, and peace into life. How many times should I forgive? He asked Jesus. 7 times? And Jesus said, not 7, I tell you, but 77 times. Amen.